This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Lawmakers are busy considering different ways to change Vermont's criminal justice laws in an effort to thwart future cases of mass violence. And we have new information about why Education Secretary Rebecca Holcomb suddenly resigned her post earlier this month. Alicia Freese is a reporter for 7 days. She's been following both of these stories very closely. She's with us today. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start off with the reaction at the State House to the alleged plot by former Fairhaven Union High School student Jack Sawyer to commit acts of violence in a mass shooting at the school. Now, Sawyer was being held without bail on a charge of attempting to commit first-degree murder, but the Vermont Supreme Court ruled that the prosecutor in the case didn't really have probable cause to bring that charge, and the court overturned that bail restriction. Meanwhile, Governor Phil Scott is asking lawmakers to quickly make changes in state law so that situations like this one can be effectively prosecuted in the future. What does the governor want lawmakers to do?
This is all a response to, I think, a high level of concern in the Fairhaven community about the release of Jack Sawyer. And the governor asked, after the Supreme Court decision, he asked lawmakers to close what he called a loophole. And really what he wants is for it to be easier for prosecutors to charge somebody with attempting a crime. And right now, you need to have some sort of overt step taken toward committing that crime. The governor was talking about lowering the bar and allowing prosecutors to charge people earlier. The concern is that under the current statute, Jack Sawyer would have had to march up to that school and, you know, have his finger on the trigger practically in order for a prosecutor to get that charge to stick.
So the question is, they've got a couple of different avenues they're looking at. One would be to change this definition, what it means to attempt to commit a crime. And as you mentioned, right now it's an overt action. And some people would like to change it to taking substantial steps. Is this likely the way that they're going to go?
It looked likely up until about a day ago. And the Senate Judiciary Committee right away ran into some serious concerns. The ACLU raised concerns about this language. The Defender General raised concerns. So I would say it's looking less likely. The House Judiciary Committee say they're still committed to changing that language around attempt, but it's looking like a heavier lift than initially anticipated.
So in the Senate Judiciary Committee, Dick Sears is looking at a possibility of making some amendments to the state's domestic terrorism laws. How would that work?
One step would be really simple. It would just be adding to the definition of a weapon of mass destruction, adding a firearm in there. And they're also talking about changing the definition of domestic terrorism. It would include threatening or taking a substantial step, that language in there again, to commit a mass shooting or other incredibly destructive crime. That has raised concerns, too, because the ACLU would say if you make threatening to do something a crime, you're potentially infringing on the right to free speech.
At the same time, when all this legal debate is going on, do we have some lawmakers who are saying, not so fast? I mean, the governor is saying he wants something to pass in the next week or two. Are there some lawmakers who are saying, let's slow this thing down because sometimes there are unintended consequences when you rush through legislation?
Yes, you're definitely hearing that from certain parties. I think lawmakers are very conscious of the fact that in the past they have passed legislation in a sort of knee-jerk fashion and it hasn't always worked out so well. So you definitely have people raising that concern. At the same time, lawmakers are under incredible pressure, not just from the governor, but from members of the Fairhaven community. Yesterday, there were students and teachers who came to testify in both committees and meet with legislative leaders and the governor. So I think everybody feels a lot of pressure to do something, but there's also a lot of concern about messing it up.
And just to be clear, is it fair to say that whatever the legislature decides to do, it would not have an impact on the Jack Sawyer case?
Right. Yeah. And that's a really important point because there is all this urgency around doing something, but it wouldn't apply retroactively. So it wouldn't change the charges against Jack Sawyer.
Let's shift gears and take a look at the Rebecca Holcomb case. Many people were very surprised when she suddenly resigned. She's the education secretary, and she resigned suddenly at the beginning of this month. Governor Scott said her decision to leave was, quote, a personal decision and not the result of disagreements over educational policy. You've done some excellent in-depth reporting on this issue, and you discovered that policy disagreements, in fact, were a major reason why Holcomb decided to leave the administration. What did they disagree about?
One of the fundamental disagreements also happens to be one of the key flashpoints in the State House right now, which is the governor called for, he's been calling for cost containment, you know, reducing school spending for a while now. And the secretary supported him in those calls for a while also. Where the disagreement took place was after town meeting day when school budgets passed overwhelmingly, that the budgets came in below what the governor asked them to come in at. And then the administration was still calling on state policymakers, but they were saying there needs to be more cost containment. And what I learned in my reporting is that Rebecca Holcomb felt very strongly that that was disrespectful of the process, but also undemocratic if you were going to take actions that would affect budgets that have already been passed by the voters.
Do you think that Secretary Holcomb felt that her priorities as education secretary in a way were being overshadowed by some of the budget concerns within the Scott administration?
I think that's possible. I mean, one of her main tasks as secretary has been to implement Act 46, which is this school district merger process, which most people are probably familiar with. And that really requires cooperation between the agency, the State Board of Education, and all of the school districts. And I think she had a concern that this debate about cost containment could undercut her credibility, and you know, she really needed that credibility to convince school districts, some of whom are really reluctant to merge and form these different structures.
Rebecca Holcomb has a very strong educational background. She's been a middle school teacher, a high school teacher, a school principal. She directed the teacher education program at Dartmouth College. Has Governor Scott indicated that maybe he's looking for somebody with a slightly different resume?
Yeah, he actually got quite explicit about it. He sent out his list of criteria for a new secretary. How it works is the state board offers three or more candidates to the governor, and he chooses from among those. So he listed his criteria, gave it out to the state board and everybody else, and said, you know, it's really important for the person to have managerial experience, didn't necessarily have to be in education. And that caveat really upset a lot of people in the education community. It is, in fact, the Secretary of Education under state law is required to have experience in the education realm. But, you know, I think that was Scott sending a message that he really wants somebody who can rein in spending and maybe who has fewer ties to the education community.
Now, Governor Scott has been calling for a statewide teachers' health care contract or an increase in the student-staff ratio as a way to possibly achieve his savings of $25 or $30 million. What's the likelihood that either of these ideas will be passed by the legislature?
I think the ratio discussion in particular is an uphill battle. I think lawmakers are open to the concept, but I don't think there's much willingness to move quickly on that. The statewide teacher health contract, I think, actually has more potential to move forward. The Vermont NEA, which represents teachers across the state and previously resisted this proposal, has now said they're open to the idea. So that, I think, does have more traction. The question of, you know, how much either of those proposals will save is a big unknown.
So are we headed for a possibility of another showdown between Democratic leaders at the State House and the governor over this issue?
Yeah. In fact, it seems hard to envision a different outcome at this point. I mean, it's always possible that they're going to hash out a compromise behind closed doors. But so far, I've seen no evidence of a compromise being put forth.
These are some key issues we'll be following in the coming weeks. Alicia Freese of 7 Days, great reporting on these issues. Many thanks for being on the program today.
Thanks, Bob.